Do you want a beautiful lawn? Enter True Green, the easiest way to get a great lawn. Just water and mow and they'll do the rest. Weed control, fertilization, aeration, and more. True Green is the official lawn care treatment provider of the PGA Tour. And they have a verified best price, which guarantees you the lowest price with no compromise on quality. You do you. Let True Green do your lawn care. Visit TrueGreen.com, TrueGreen.com to get the best lawn at the best price with the best people. Guaranteed.
Passion, drive, and patience. The formula for winning championships is also what keeps your ride or die alive. eBay Motors has everything you need to maintain your vehicle and level it up to peak performance. Superchargers, roof racks, exhaust kits, LED headlights, and more. Whether you're into speed, power, or style, eBay Motors has you covered. With over 122 million parts for your number one ride or die, you'll always find exactly what you're looking for. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, your part is guaranteed to fit your ride every time or your money back. Because with eBay Motors, you're burning rubber, not cash. With all the parts you need at the prices you want, it's easy to make your car the MVP and bring home huge wins. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply. See ebaymotors.com.
Every team, every topic, everywhere. This is Believe.
Welcome, everybody, to another Christmas version, a special Christmas edition version of Bill Roden on Sports. I'm Bill Roden here on Long Island, New York. Hope everybody had a very tremendous Christmas. Hope you got the gifts that you wanted. And if not, hope that you were able to play it off like you were excited. And hope everybody's children got all the tons and tons and tons of gifts they got. Filling this in on that end is my friend and colleague, Jamal Murphy. Murph, Merry Christmas. How did it go?
Merry Christmas, Bill. Hope you had a good one. You know, yeah. It went okay. You know, Christmas, you know, very stressful time. Got family. You got to get all the gifts. Got to make sure you get the right gifts. You got to shop last minute. At least I do. Shop last minute.
Don't believe
you know, so it was okay. I can't, you know, it was fine.
It is stressful. And all the while I was in my hate Christmas, you know. Yeah. It's like
you're a Grinch?
Well, it's just tough, man. I mean, Thanksgiving is all about the food and at the end of the day, I mean, it's a little bit of stress because you're cooking food and that stuff. But Christmas, man, it's like the gifts and the money and do you have it? And people sold out. And, right. You know, where are you going to park? And it's just, you know. And then I guess it's, you know, what's your favorite part of Christmas aside from it being over? I mean, you have kids. So you had to like, they were bombarded with gifts.
Yeah. You know, because we had family over. My wife's family is over. So they always go crazy with the gifts. So they had piles and piles of gifts. Right. I guess that's as a parent, I guess that's the best part, you know, having the kids open the gifts and be all happy and, you know, seeing their faces.
That's
great. Yeah, hopefully. So, Christmas morning is great. I guess that's probably what I liked as a kid, too. I still like getting gifts myself. I can't lie. I open a gift and it's something I need. I'm very happy. My needs are, you know, much more simple these days. You know, you give me some like undershirts and socks. I'm like, yes, just what I needed.
Black socks.
12 I'm like, yes, I could throw out the socks with holes in them. Finally.
Right. Yeah, give me a couple. Yeah. I mean, just really simple stuff. Like, although my daughter gave me a nice pair of headphones. Bluetooth headphone. And so funny, my last few trips, I kept, you know, maybe it was the very last one. I was coming from somewhere, and I said, "Okay, I've been looking at these headphones." You know, even when I was in Germany, for the games, I said, "Oh man, let me get a pair of real, not these, you know, let me get a pair of like real headphones. I said, nah. Right. Each time I picked them up and I was looking at them, nah, I'm not going to do it. Then last week I was somewhere and I went into the shop. I said, no, I'm going to absolutely do it. And I looked at him, that I was about to pull the trigger. Nah, you know. And so, lo and behold, so when my daughter gave me the gift, I thought, oh, wow, this is great.
Did she know you wanted them?
No, I don't think so.
Wow, that's
great. It was just intuition. And, what was your favorite gift?
That's funny. You mentioned the Bluetooth. My sister-in-law gave me a Bluetooth hat, like a Bluetooth winter beanie hat.
Bluetooth.
You know, so now, yeah, you could answer the phone with it. It's just a hat. You know,
is that right?
A wool hat. I guess it has, you know, speakers and Bluetooth. So that I haven't tried it out yet, but that was pretty cool. I can't lie.
Wow, that is pretty cool. A Bluetooth key. You can wear that in the summer.
I know. Now I have like a Bluetooth everything because I have the headphones, of course. I actually have glasses that, you know, sunglasses that record, that take pictures, record, and act as Bluetooth,
Oh, wow.
And now I have a hat. So I'm covered. You know, wow. you can't get anything by me right now, I'm telling you.
Yeah, my nephew got a pair of Dion sunglasses.
Nice.
Dion sunglasses.
Oh, the ones that everybody was getting?
Yeah. After the Colorado State coach got on him,
right,
then the next week he had like sunglasses.
How could you forget?
Yeah,
and I guess, you know, that's a good segue because we talked. I think it was last episode we talked about Deion, and he actually has done pretty well in the portal. Bill,
is that right? Have you been keeping up with it?
Man, I think we mentioned this last time. He got the best offensive lineman, but since then, he's doing pretty well in the portal. They say so. You know, it's gonna be. Gonna be another interesting college football season, but you know that's a long way away.
That's a long way away. It'll be here before you know it. But the thing that is here is NFL football, which I think you both enjoy. And I think I'm still beaming over a victory for Black America when the Ravens beat the 49ers. And frankly, all going into the game, I'm thinking, well, I don't know, you know, going out to San Francisco and you know, my thing was, well, let's not get so caught up on this because the goal is the Super Bowl. You know, the goal is for Lamar to take the Super Bowl. I guess I was kind of rationalizing. Well, no matter what happens, you know. but then the game kind of started off shaky, you know.
Oh, yeah.
Got the safety. But one thing I thought was really, let's just, in the big picture, I'm really happy that they won. But
well, before you move on, let me just get this promo out the way.
Okay,
so, we can get on Lamar, but Bros Pod sponsored by Believe. The only people that don't get time off this time of year are pro athletes and us at Bet Online. With NFL bowl season and NBA in full swing over the holidays, Bet Online isn't taking a second off to make sure you have all the up to date odds and news and info. Bet Online has all the sports wagering info available you need. With both desktop and mobile access, so head over to BetOnline today and get in on the action. Remember to use our promo code BELEAV, that's BLEAV, to receive your 50% welcome bonus on your first deposit. So as always, you know, we always promote betting on here, Bill, right?
Sports betting. Safe betting, quote unquote. Safe betting.
And you know, speaking of that, you know, you were talking about the Baltimore Ravens, of course, going to San Francisco. And I was like, you know, I wanted to bet that the Ravens would win that game, at least with the spread. And it was a 6.5. San Francisco was favored by 6.5, which is kind of a lot for two good teams with the same record. But I was, you know, even though I felt like Baltimore had a chance to win, and thought they, you know, I was still scared off by even 6.5. I was like, you know, because all I kept hearing in the media, and not that I, you know, we're media also. Right. And I wasn't really buying it, but I think I was bombarded with all this San Francisco, the greatest team ever. You know,
every position,
they're going to walk through the Super Bowl and they can't be beat. And Brock Purdy,
oh my God,
quarterback for the system.
He's just so efficient.
I was scared. I didn't bet it. And then like halfway into the game, I was kicking myself.
Yeah. A lot of people kicking themselves. But you're right. I mean, even betting aside, the whole, you know, great white hope scenario, it didn't take much for that to kick in. It does not take much for the great white hope scenario to kick in. You know, right. with Brock Purdy. You know, when they went on the three-game losing streak, you know, by the way, without Debo Samuel, Chris Affrey was hurt, and Trent Williams was hurt. And then I think we talked about that. They lost. They came back, played well. And going to this game, that was a narrative that they had two potential MVP candidates. Well, if we don't get Brett Purdy, we'll certainly get Christian McCaffrey. And frankly, Chris McCaffrey is a badass. No question about it. I mean, black, white, or indifferent, he's great. But it was just so great to see. You know, and it kind of gets back to the argument that Cam Newton started about the difference between a game manager and a game changer. And I think anyone who watched that game last night, if you just watched football for the very first time, you saw that, you would say, oh, man, number eight is a game changer. You know, because there are things he did that just nobody else can do. You know, being almost sacked, cast at his knees, cast grabbing around his neck, getting out of it, and then running for like 40 yards, you know, or scrambling and then stopping and hitting. Because it totally throws the defense into chaos. You know, you're totally chaotic. You know, so I thought that he really did a great account of myself. My philosophy is still don't get hung up on the regular season. You know, his task is to lead them to the Super Bowl, and that will piss off even more people to have him go to the Super Bowl. So yeah, I thought it was a great victory, and I was eager to hear what our brothers and sisters in the media would say afterwards, how they would rationalize, you know, saying that it was going to be Brock Purdy night, and how he was this and he was that, and then like four interceptions, you know. And I'm like, okay, so what are you going to say? How are you going to rationalize? Well, yeah, I don't know, maybe he was saying double, you know.
No, you're right. I think last night showed you. I mean, I loved what Cam Newton said. Cam Newton in his prime, at his best, was one of the best quarterbacks probably we've seen. You know, at least, you know, he's one of the best.
Right.
You know, he was an MVP. Yeah. You know, how many MVPs have there been? So he has the authority to say what he wants on the subject.
Absolutely.
And I felt he was right, you know, in talking about game managers and game changers. I think everybody knew that Purdy was, you know, was basically a game manager, but you know, I guess they were looking at him like he was unflappable, like this type of performance couldn't happen.
Right.
And you know, Baltimore hit him in the mouth, and then you have Lamar on the other side. You know, he probably had a shaky possession or two, but other than that, I think he was like 25 or 33 or something like that, something impressive. Couple touchdowns, ran for a bunch of yards. Like he did what he does.
Yeah.
And he changed the game, and they basically punched San Francisco in the mouth. I mean, as a team, you know, they totally dominated. It wasn't even as close as the score. I think the score was 33-19. It wasn't that close.
Yeah.
San Francisco had a garbage touchdown with Darnold who came in. Right. In mop-up duty. But yeah, I mean, so the narrative, I mean, this year, I think maybe, you know, maybe we say this every year, but this year, I feel like it has been such a roller coaster of narratives. You know, things change every week. I mean, last time we talked on a podcast, Dak was on top of the world.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
Dak was going to be the MVP. And in just like 2 or 3 weeks, everything flipped on his head. Then, you know, it was coming into the week, it was Purdy. He's definitely going to be the MVP.
Right.
And now, The funny thing is, no one was really talking about Lamar, but now that he wins this game, it's like, I mean, I guess we got to give it to Lamar.
Yeah, until next one. I mean, you know, and they still have a tough game. They have a tough game against Miami at home. I think last time Miami beat them at home. And then right. they end the season with the Steelers, which is not going to be an easy game.
Right.
You know, and then, you know, the playoffs are going to be tough. I think because something like this happens, and I was more comfortable when Lamar was under the radar screen, when everybody's talking about everybody else. It was cool, you know.
Right.
But when you play a game like that, when they're building up somebody else and you come in there and cut them down, now the focus is on you. Some because they want you to fail or they kind of rationalize themselves. Oh, well, yeah, of course, he's the natural jet. So we'll see. But I think the burden of proof is still there. I think it would be great for him, you know, just to be Lamar from here until, you know, mid-February and just do his thing, not get hurt.
Yeah, I'm with you on the playoffs. Like, that's – I mean, obviously, that's the biggest – that's all that matters in the long run. Except, you know, another MVP doesn't look too bad. You know, for him to – you know, after this season, for him to say he's a two-time
– two-time NBA.
MVP. That's pretty impressive. I was also – I'm like you, too. I was worried about, you know, okay, they have the tough game, Miami, come next week. Miami's obviously a formidable team. You know, so I was worried about a little – you know, there could be a letdown. But then I thought about it. And Miami's coming off a big game, too, against Dallas. So they both kind of are coming off big games and have another big game. So they're both kind of in the same situation.
Yeah, it'd be hard to be let down. I mean, it'd be different if they were playing, like, Jacksonville or, you know, or you know, I don't know. I don't even know who you'd say, like, the Jets. Yeah. playing the Jets or the Giants.
Oh, the Giants. Yeah, the Jets or the Giants.
I'd be worried. Oh, man. Yeah.
Sorry, Jets and Giants. But, yeah, exactly. So, you know, but I think, you know, there probably won't be a letdown. But, you know, just the way that the season has gone this year, and we've seen it with a couple teams, like they have, like these teams have all run into tough schedules, right? Yeah. They all, you know, they've gone through, you know, stretches where the Eagles, you know, were on top of the world for a while, but then they kind of faced like four or five tough games in a row and they won the first two, but it caught up to them.
Yeah.
And then they, you know, they had a tailspin. And this, you could say the same thing with Dallas. Dallas was rolling against, you know, weaker competition. Then they won one of the big games and then they had another big game, you know, two big games in a row and they lost those two. So it's just a grueling league.
Which is what makes the NFL, you know, such a great league with all the other issues aside, you know, somebody getting hurt every two play, you carry rolling somebody off, you know, oh, wow, you got mauled by a lion, you know. Oh, we can survive. I just keep imagining what it must have been like, you know, because I'm sure there was the same kind of betting online back in the you go to the Coliseum. Oh, okay, we got Gladiator up today. You know, what's the betting line? You know.
No, exactly the same. I mean, it's rough out there. Did you see Kansas City Pacheco? He gets the helmet comes off. He gets kneed in the head.
Oh man.
Suffers a concussion. Then they put him on in the blue tent, or he gets on the chair like the chair and the chair collapses. He falls down off that. Right? It's just crazy out here.
Cheap NFL plastic Walmart chairs and the concussion chair.
$1 billion league, but a Walmart chair.
Or one of those tables. One of those what kind of plastic table?
It's like a Domino's table.
Yeah. The Trent Williams gets on and the table collapses. He was okay when he went in. He got an ACL. Oh, man, that's funny.
Yeah, so, I mean, it's so brutal. So, yeah, I mean, the key is staying healthy, of course. And then we'll see in the playoffs. And Lamar still has have a lot to prove in the playoffs. And I know it's not, you know, you can't blame it all on one player. It's theirs to lose. I mean, this is their year. Not only will they probably have the number one seed, but just, you know, the Chiefs are a mess. How long is, you know, you got a bunch of quarterbacks out. You have Joe Burrow's out, so the Bengals are not in it. You know, you got a few teams who are down this year are going to be better next year probably. So now's the time.
Yeah, but that, I've been there when Baltimore, last year, there were games, even by, they were up. I mean, there were about three or four games where they were just up, you know, and then they found a way not to close. You know, yeah. they closed against San Francisco. But you're right, they got minutes, you know, when you say theirs to lose, that's always that because they could, you know, just when everything is right there for them. And I think, but I agree with you that this is a very big opportunity. And for Lamar, you know, last year he was out. He missed the last few games of the season. The year before that, he was out. He missed the last few games of the season. And then even when he was playing, I think there was only one playoff victory. So I think for him, there is a lot to prove, no matter what everybody's chirping about. Oh, Lamar's the MVP. I said, no, man, screw the MVP. Yeah, I agree with you. That would be great. But the Lombardi Trophy would even be better. So,
no question about that. So, but think about the story. Now, you know, I don't want to keep jinxing him here, but think about the story if he does win it. I mean, you know, coming off that offseason, trying to get the guaranteed contract, there was so much debate about whether, not, you know, whether anybody's worth it, but especially Lamar, he was getting attacked left and right. Oh, he's, you know, he's still, you know, questionable as a passer, people said. And he's actually had a very good passing year this year.
Well, that's Todd Monken. You know, he needs Todd Monken to really be
there. Right. Right. We were screaming all the time, like, they got to get him some weapons. They did. You know, they drafted the rookie Flowers. He's been big. He's basically their number one receiver. Got Odell Beckham. Hasn't done too much, but he's there.
Right. He's there.
I guess, you know, the defenses, I guess, still respect him. And he might come through in a big moment. You know, in the playoffs.
So. All he needs, a guy like that, I always call it the Miles Davis effect. To me, when I go to a concert to see great musicians, particularly as a great musician you get older, you know, sometimes you don't expect for every single tune they play to be great. But there comes a point, there's one piece that they play that's just magical, you know.
Right.
And that's it. Well, that's why he's trained. That's why he's Miles or whomever, you know, we're talking about. And I think it's probably the same thing with a guy like Odell, that you don't need him to be spectacular. All you need him to be spectacular like once.
Right.
You know. So I'm excited about the next 2 weeks. I'll go down to Baltimore for the Chiefs game. I mean, for the Miami Dolphins game, and probably will go down there for the Steelers game to see if they close out, write essays about each game, you know, about each thing. Because I really think Lamar is a very pivotal figure, you know, because when they talk about, I think that if and when he wins the championship, I think it will really close the door, close the chapter, or it will be the end of a particular chapter of the black quarterback. You know, because there are a lot of guys like him. People talk, well, what about Pat Mahomes? And my thing is, Mahomes, I do consider him, he is a brother. But Mahomes is not the kind of athlete that historically, right? He was never that guy. They were never going to switch Pat Mahomes to a cornerback or to a wide receiver. He was not that kind of athlete.
Right.
You know, he was more like a baseball player where you're skilled, you're highly skilled. You know, and you're athletic enough, but you're not athletic for us to put you at cornerback or wide receiver. You ain't that kind of athlete. Where the kind of, what we're talking about, the kind of guy, and for that point, probably Jalen Hurts. I'm not sure if he's that kind, but the kind we're talking about is the Lamar Jackson kind. And there's a whole category of guys like that who are like so athletic, and there are generations of them who would routinely. And I keep thinking of the great and late Marlon Briscoe, who was like that. And this goes back to like 1968. And Briscoe was this great quarterback coming out the University of Nebraska at Omaha. They called him Marlon the Magician. And that was like back in 1968, you know.
Right.
And they called him Marlon the Magician. And, you know, of course, Denver drafted him, but of course, as a defensive back. But he lobbied. He lobbied. He said, "Just give me a chance to play quarterback." And you know, during training camp, you know, he was wowing people. You know, the audience was like, damn, man, because they didn't have any quarterbacks, really. And the quarterback got hurt during the season, and Marlon stepped in and became the first black quarterback to start in the AFL, the whole AFL. And he did great. He actually, I think, was like offensive rookie of the year. He set a record, a Denver record quarterback and all that. But then the next year, you know, over the summer, they had like a quarterbacks meeting, and he was never invited to it. He just heard about it. And he came in, and he's back to being the cornerback. And he left, and I think he went to Canada. And finally, he went to Buffalo. But even when he got to Buffalo, they told him, we need a wide receiver. And they had just drafted a James Shaq Harris out of Grambling. And so that was the last time Marlon ever played quarterback. And his claim to fame was that he was the receiver on the Miami Dolphins team that went undefeated. But he was – But he never got that. So to me, there's a connection with him and a guy like Lamar, you know, like, because I think even Marlon died a couple of years ago, but he talked about how much he really loved Lamar because that was him. And, you know, if that would have been 1968, Lamar clearly would not be doing that. And there's still the same racist and the racist mentality that dead-end Marlon Briscoe and a lot of brothers like that, their offspring are still alive today in the NFL. They still have that same mentality. But, you know, it's kind of like underground. You kind of have to be cool. Everybody sees the trend, so you don't want to be outed. So you just kind of go along with it. But you could tell by things people say that's still not what they consider to be, you know, the quarterback of their ideal. It's still even Brock Purdy. They'll say, well, you know, that kind of thing is, you know, so that's why I think it's so significant. If Lamar were to keep it together and pull it together and lead Baltimore to a championship, it would really close a significant chapter in the history and the evolution of black quarterbacks. So that's my story, and I'm sticking to it.
No, I agree. And it's like, you know, it's putting the best athlete on the field,
right?
And making them the quarterback, like allowing the best athlete on the field, you know, and trusting them that they're smart enough to run the team,
right?
You know, so they touch the ball every time, right? And then you said, you know, talking about, you know, the old guard and still the racism that's still there. It's just, and we've talked about this all the time, it's just, you know, coded words, coded phrases.
Right.
One of the things that bothers me now when you know, and it's even black people. I mean, and this happens, of course, with everything, right? Black people begin to stop this stuff too.
Right? That's what we're known for.
Right. So I hear black people complaining, oh, he runs too much and all this kind of stuff. But what bothers me now, like the new thing, or you know, the relatively new thing that shouldn't even be there anymore, that bothers me when I hear people debate this. It's like, oh, well, Purdy has such and such throwing touchdowns, and exactly. Lamar only has 24 throwing touchdowns, but he has this number of rushing touchdowns. Just talk about, and some people are doing it now. They're saying total touchdowns,
right?
But that's what it is. Like if you're responsible for a touchdown, you're telling me that doesn't matter.
Right.
You know, Jalen Hurts has 14 rushing touchdowns. Mm. You know, I mean, I know a lot of it is that tush push thing, but still, he's the only one who knows how to do it.
Exactly. I know. It's what are we in December and people still haven't figured it out yet?
Exactly. It's just amazing.
Yeah.
But I mean, yeah, so I would love, you know, and I agree with you. I mean, if Lamar can win a championship, man, that just, it changed. And I'm obviously the old guard never dies. Like there's still gonna be people holding on tight, you know, being as racist as they can and trying to, you know, discount it, whatever. But it has to be a huge deal.
Well, people,
it will be. It would be a huge deal.
It'll be a huge deal. And you're right. People just, that's why we have racism for like the last 400 years. It just evolves. I mean, there's a positive evolution, but there's always this, and we see it in our politics. There's always this guy who wants to turn it back, whether it's voting rights, women's rights, they're, you know, gay and transgender rights. They're people who just want to, you know, move the clock back. And, you know, and that's why you have to keep pushing forward. But I think in the quarterback thing, and the quarterback to me is sort of epitomizes this thing of black male leadership and all that. But the term they use, I thought that's what you were going to say, is the running quarterback. You know, when do we get to a point where we just talk about somebody as a quarterback? Well, he's a running quarterback. And that's almost like, well, she's smart for a woman, you know.
Right.
That kind of, it's always, let's put some kind of qualifier on it, as opposed to just say, this person is just a great quarterback. Whatever that means, you know, you manage, you're a game changer. You are the reason why this team is winning, you know.
Right. And I, you know, and going back to that game last night, there were a couple plays, and he's done it all year. Yeah. But just watching the game, it, you know, just makes me laugh. Like when people say, you know, he's not a great quarterback, or, you know, he's a running quarterback, because he may, you know, he obviously made some big time reads. Yeah. That one pass to, I think, Edwards out of the backfield where he's scrambling.
Right.
And he kind of throws him open, cutting down the middle of the field.
Yeah.
To me, that was just a great, great play. You know, he's been doing that all year. So this stuff is just a complete joke.
Yeah. Know? Then the play where he ran, it must be, you know, he's dropped back. Somebody, the number 27 was blitzing and just got him. And, like, you know, he just escaped. And then he looked and he ran for like about 30 yards.
Yeah, that was a huge play.
And I texted, you know, a couple of naysayers and said, Brock Purdy cannot do that. if you want to freeze a moment of time and the difference between a game manager and a game changer, freeze that. Put a picture of that. That is what you call, because, you know, most people cannot do that.
Right.
You know, and that's the difference between a guy like Michael Jordan, Kobe Bryant, and, you know, you have a lot of great basketball players. But there come these moments where you have a job. Okay, nobody else can do that, you know. Right. And you got that guy on your team, you know.
And then, and I go, you know, like Cam was saying, in terms of you know, the game changer, game manager. I mean, you saw that with Purdy.
Yeah.
And you know, I mean, you know, Purdy, he was drafted, you know, he was the last player in the draft, you know, for a reason. Maybe, you know, maybe he could have been like a fifth round pick or something like that. But, you know, it's because, you know, when push comes to shove and you do play a great defense, you need to have a quarterback that can rise a level above, you know, and, you know, make a play in spite of great athletes and a great defense on the other side. And that's where you saw the difference there. When you have a great defense on both sides, you need, you know, you can't just rely on that. You know, you have to have multiple options. And I don't care. Obviously, you had like a Brady. It doesn't always have to be running, but you better be able to get rid of the ball quicker than we've ever seen. Or, you know, you better be able to hit seams, you know, better than we've ever seen to have a shot against teams.
Incredible throws. You know, and Brady did that. You know, Brady consistently did that. You go back, you know, that was a particular era. And then you have Lamar, because the guy, the defense he's playing against, these guys were like great. You know, they just dismantled Philadelphia.
Right.
You know, and these guys, I mean, Hargrove and Bosa and each time, man, these
all
guys
over the field.
They had shots. You know, they had shots at him. And then, you know, you were at the plate where they still could not hit him. And it was interesting, I think, by the end of the game. I always like to see at the end of the game, particularly hard-fought game, how cats give each other respect. And you could tell there was so much respect that they had for this cat.
During the game. There'd be times when they couldn't get him down. He made a great play. They finally tackle him, you know, way down the field, and they're still, you know, still tapping him on the helmet.
Right. Hey, man.
They just got to give it up. Gotta give it up.
Yeah, which I think is cool. So anyway, but I think it's still a long season. I know we always end this segment with like your quarterback, the topsy-turvy. And by the way, Dak is not that kind of person either. Dak is not, you know, I think sometimes if you're a black quarterback, you do that. And there are only a few people who can do that. I mean, you know, I've mentioned, you know, Mike Vick was a guy like that, who at any given time was the best athlete on the field.
No question.
You know, unfortunately, you know, I think he was in that, he was sort of in that bridge era, and he was with Atlanta. But he was, again, part of this chapter I'm talking about.
Do you want a beautiful lawn? Enter True Green, the easiest way to get a great lawn. Just water and mow and they'll do the rest. Weed control, fertilization, aeration, and more. True Green is the official lawn care treatment provider of the PGA Tour. And they have a verified best price, which guarantees you the lowest price with no compromise on quality. You do you. Let True Green do your lawn care. Visit TrueGreen.com, TrueGreen.com to get the best lawn at the best price with the best people. Guaranteed.
You know, this evolution. But anyway, you don't have to do a scientific breakdown of black quarterbacks, but clearly, I guess, in your ranking, Lamar has to leap to the front of the line.
Yeah. Lamar has catapulted to the top spot in the black quarterback rankings. I mean, if he's at the top spot, you know, the whole entire league for MVP, you know, he's jumped a couple guys to get that top black spot. You know, we still hear people saying, I still heard people today, you know, in the debate shows saying that, you know, Christian McCaffrey should be the MVP because Lamar's numbers just aren't that gaudy. And, you know, there are other quarterbacks with better numbers. And, you know, I mean, Lamar has thrown for 3,357 yards so far. Yes, there are quarterbacks who've thrown for, there are a few quarterbacks who've thrown for about 4,000. But if you add Lamar's 800 yards rushing, he's at 4,100 plus. Right. So, and when you do that, when you add the combined rushing and passes, he's right there with anybody. He's also eighth in quarterback rating and eighth in passer rating. You know, he's, you know, that's fine. I'll take that any day. And then the winning, he's the best record in the league. Okay. And that's what I always hear that matters the most. So to me, he's pretty clear cut number one in the league. So that, you know, that makes him the number one black quarterback. Number two, I'm going to go with Dak. He was number one last time we did this. He drops to two. You know, some people could say he should drop further, but, you know, he had the one bad game against San Francisco. He just got bum rushed by San Francisco.
Again.
Didn't have much help, you know, coaching wise either, because they were not prepared for that game. I'll go 3-2. Two has been consistent, man. You know,
was very consistent,
very good. I'm watching him in the game where they beat Dallas, and he actually, you know, one of the things that people say about Tua, oh, he doesn't. You know, we haven't seen those moments where he, you know, closes out a game or has a game-winning drive. Well, he did that against Dallas this past weekend. You know, I'm watching him just – and I know Tyreek Hill is great after the catch and all that, but every time I'm watching, he's hitting him in stride.
Yeah.
Right. I'm watching Tua. He's just throwing, like, dimes out there. You know what I'm saying? Like, he's just – like, I don't know what people are talking about when they don't give this guy his credit.
Tua's great.
Yeah, every time I see him, he's just, you know, dotting passes and they're catching his stride. They're able to keep running. Like, that's the quarterback, man.
That's
what
right.
You want?
That's right.
So
he's a super game manager, if you want to call him that.
Yeah.
There's a game manager.
Hey, he's very smart not to run. We know his concussion history.
Right.
But I mean, yeah, super, super game manager. Number four, Hurts, his fellow Alabama guy. We know that history, but Hurts, yes, again, the Eagles have struggled. He struggled a little bit, but he, you know, his numbers are, I mean, he puts the Eagles on his back, whether it's running. We know he's not even 100% healthy. They still, you know, design runs for him. He still gets the job done. One of those, and we're going to, you know, as he gets older and he gets further in his career, man, he'll probably be recognized more for this, but I mean, this guy is just an absolute winner.
Right.
You know, everything, like demeanor, everything.
Right.
Leadership. Yeah. I mean, he's the real deal.
Yeah.
Mahomes, I mean, he's just having his worst season ever.
Mm.
And it's not, and okay, yes, I'm sure he has to take some of the blame. But as far as the Chiefs in general, I don't know what you think, but the beginning of the year, when they had, it's almost like that Patriot, New England Patriot arrogance.
Yeah.
When they said we don't need to sign another wide receiver.
Right.
You know, they lost Schuster, who's not the greatest, but he was their number one last year.
Right.
They lose their number one receiver. They don't sign any big name receiver, and they're like, oh, we'll get it done. We'll figure it out. Kelsey, and it worked for like the first 8 weeks, but then, you know, teams get smart. They're going to take away your number one option.
Let me ask you something, Jamal. Do you think Kelsey is distracted? This whole Taylor Swift thing. Do you think that has anything to do? Do you think there's any level of distraction that you know? I mean, because he's become a huge celebrity now. I mean, you know, I mean, it's like he's gotten to another are kind of like a Kardashian level.
Yeah.
And they're always showing at the games. And I have no idea what dating her would be like. I mean, like dating Marilyn Monroe or something, you know.
Right.
And you're still like a football player at the end of the day. Do you think there's any distraction element in that?
Well, I know, you know, it's like you're not supposed to say, you know, you're not supposed to say that. And, you know, we're supposed to just treat it like, oh, you know, it's different. You know, he's playing football and it's just a coincidence. No, I think it's a distraction. Like, and I'm not blaming him, you know, I'm not saying you shouldn't
or her
or that you shouldn't go find love.
Right. You know what I'm saying? Even if it's Taylor Swift.
You shouldn't do what you want to do. Right. But like you said, how could it not be a distraction?
Right.
How?
Right.
How could it not be a distraction?
Right.
There's no way. You know, right. in some kind of way, and even let's say it's just, and I do think it's, I'm sure it's some sort of personal level distraction, right? But let's say from his part, he was not distracted at all.
Right.
You think other teams aren't more motivated to shut his ass down?
That's right. That's right. That's right.
To hit him a little harder.
That's right.
You know.
That's right.
To talk shit to him. You think you know?
Hey, big man. Hey, big man. Where's Taylor? Hey, big man. You know.
Right. That's funny you asked that question because I was thinking about this the other day. I'm just like, I know you're not supposed to say distraction, you know.
And every
like
game,
cliche,
man.
But it's real.
And I'm thinking, but I have not heard anybody even, they're talking about, oh, man, what's wrong with the Chiefs this year? And they're not the same and all that. And I, well, man, you had this motherfucker dating Marilyn Monroe, you know.
Right.
And every time you see the game, they even have her sometimes split screen, you know. And she's going to these bigots. And then they went somewhere during the bye.
Yeah, he shows up somewhere overseas. I'm like, come on, man.
You know, on the private jet.
And half joking, I'm like, could you do this in the off season? Couldn't you hook up with her in the off season or something? Like, what are we? So there's no question. It's a distraction, man.
I wonder what. And then remember, he had Mahomes' wife was kind of like, her jaws were a little tight, you know. Because,
yeah, I was about to say the same thing. I was about to bring that up. Now Mahomes got to go home, and his wife talking about, oh, Taylor,
right.
Don't be this.
I know. Can you, blah, 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 blah. Can you get me in her box or something?
They have a secret handshake. I mean, come on, man. It's crazy.
Oh, my God. So, yeah.
It's a distraction. And now that you talk about it, maybe that's one of the reasons Mahomes is at five. Like he might even be distracted by the whole thing, you know.
I know.
So
because if Kelce is distracted, he's distracted.
Right, he's distracted,
and his wife
is distracted, he's distracted.
Yeah, if she ain't happy, I ain't happy. But then meanwhile, you seen number 10 in Miami getting ready to set 20,000 yards, you know, get ready to, the greatest receiver on earth. You seen this cat. As if, you know, at sometimes you say, man, what are we doing here? You know, what,
right.
We could have had a dynasty. If we couldn't
exactly.
Give this cat $5 more million or something, you know.
And getting back to the real, yes, I, you know, the other stuff, the Taylor Swift stuff, whatever. But the number one thing I think was the way they handled the offseason and the wide receivers, and you can go back a couple of years, like you said, to Tyreek Hill,
right.
The way they handled that, you know, not giving him a big time receiver. I mean, think about it. You're penny pinching when you have a Super Bowl caliber team.
Yeah.
You know, you're not supposed to do that. The Mahomes doesn't come around every year or every 5 to 10 years. Like you're supposed to take advantage of his career,
right.
His prime of his career every year. And give him what he needs every year.
Right.
Right? And you could go back to Brady. That's one of the reasons Brady got the hell out of there.
Right. Now, you could have said Mahomes, I don't know how much money Mahomes could have not taken to keep.
Well,
he
took a deal, you know, as far as I know. I mean, I know he got paid, but, you know, they made a big deal. Like he had, you know, he could have demanded much more.
Mm-hmm.
And especially when these other quarterbacks were getting paid over the summer.
Right.
He could have demanded more. They don't, you know, DeAndre Hopkins was out there as a free agent. You think they wouldn't look different with DeAndre Hopkins?
Yeah. Yeah.
Come on.
Yeah. So, you know, so we'll see. So who else? So we have.
And then we, after that, you those are like the top tier, top five. And then after that, I'll go Stroud at six. He's been hurt the last couple of weeks. Yeah. Hasn't done it, but he's still, you know, he had a great. He had a great rookie season. Rookie season, no, very like one of the best ever rookie seasons for a quarterback. And he'll be back. I think he'll be back next week. So he'll try to continue that. Try to get him in the playoffs.
What about Geno?
Geno Smith, seven. I got him at seven. He actually has been hurt, right? He missed a couple weeks, and he came back last week and got a big win, right?
Yeah. They beat Tennessee. They were down Tennessee.
Yeah, they beat Tennessee. And then you have I'm going with my guy Fields at eight. Man, I'm sorry to tell you, Bill. I mean, this guy, you know, I mean, I'm super impressed. Kareem, my son. He needles me about my love for Justin Fields, right? He's like, oh, he's a running back. I'm like, come on, man. He's watching too much YouTube, man. Getting this commentary. Well, I'm like, every time he comes by the TV, I'm like, look at this throw. I rewind it. Look at that throw. Dime.
Okay. You know? One and then 20 more plays. Then another one. And then 20 more plays. And then the game is over.
And but he's played well. I mean, you know, the Bears played pretty well down the stretch. They lost a couple games they shouldn't have lost. They're great at blowing games. Mm. But I got Fields eight. I got nine. Russell Wilson.
Poor Russell, man.
Yeah,
I thought he was on the rebound.
Did you see Sean Payton screaming at him?
Yeah, did we ever get a clarification about some people were trying? Well, he wasn't really yelling. He was just kind of yelling to make a point, or it was theater, or I don't know. He looked like he was like giving him an earful.
Yeah. I don't think we ever got to the bottom of that.
I didn't find out what. I heard all kinds of philosophy, but from a visual, it looked like he was not happy with Russell Wilson at all.
And it was after a play. It wasn't even a quarterback. It wasn't an obvious quarterback mistake. It was like a bunch of a bunch of false starts or something, right? Like,
maybe he's saying, this team is crap, Russell. They need a leadership. They need leadership. Can't you say something to them? Can't you do something about this? You know.
Right. I put this on you.
Yeah.
This is on you.
You need leadership. You got to be a leader. You're supposed to be the great Russell Wilson.
You're too worried about Sierra.
Yeah.
Need to be a leader.
That's right. Yeah, that's exactly right. And then he left and he came back. And furthermore, I think about it, you know, you should give the money back.
Exactly. So, they're still in the playoff hunt, though. I don't know what it's going to look like down, you know, that stretch. And regardless, it's better than it started. Because remember, I think they started what? I can't even remember.
Yeah, the thing was a 73-point loss. Miami, we're about to fire everybody.
Right. So, you know, Russell's been okay. Then I got Jordan Love. He's fallen off since the last time we talked. Green Bay lost a couple games. He's basically a rookie, too. He's an old rookie.
Yeah.
But this is his first full year, so he's having his ups and downs. Yeah, you know, he has talent. I think I have confidence enough that he'll be a good quarterback down the line.
That seems to be a consensus. You know, the good people of Green Bay is, let's be patient, you know. Rome wasn't built in a day.
And then last at 11, because we had I think we had another injury. Oh, no, we had a replacement because we had a top 12 a couple weeks ago, and now the Pastronaut was benched.
Oh, yeah. Man, what a see from, you know, he was like the president of the United States, you know.
Right. The only faster fall from grace was Tommy DeVito.
Oh, my God, yeah. Oh, my God. I saw there was something where DeVito was saying, you know, telling the Giants PR they were doing some of the Italian stuff, and he got pissed. Enough of this Italian stuff, you know.
Because he got sacked and they're mocking it. That's why. Now they do it in his face. Yeah, Tommy DeVito, we got you. You saw when they were sacking him. I think it was on Thanksgiving. They sacked him a few times and they started doing his thing.
Oh, no, really? I didn't see that.
He's had enough.
I'd love to see, man, some of the stuff the guys say. When they get I would love to hear just a whole program of what people are saying to each other, you know, on
mic'd
the field.
Mic'd up D Lyman.
Yeah, like throughout the, I mean, like uncut, unfiltered.
Yeah, yeah.
It'd probably be hilarious. You know,
you gotta wait for even HBO won't show that.
Won't let you know that. Trent Williams. What is Trent Williams saying? Yeah.
Oh man, this is brutal out there.
He's hurt.
But last of course is Bryce Young. And I was watching the game last week, and he's getting better. Mm-hmm. He's playing better the last half of the season. I think he'll be good to go next year.
Yeah, that's good though. I mean, I keep amazing when you come up with his list that you could go 13 deep.
Yeah,
I mean, you know, and that's, you know, that's a major, major shift, major improvement.
Yeah, think about the guys who got hurt. Deshaun Watson's not on the list anymore. He's hurt. He's done. A few other guys I'm forgetting, I'm sure.
Yeah, that's good. So, good. So, listen, before we go, did you watch any? You said you were at Madison Square Garden, right?
Yeah, Christmas Day. It was that yesterday. Yesterday at Madison Square Garden that's the first time I've ever gone to a Christmas Madison Square Garden game. That was great.
Hmm. They got the win. The franchise, huh? They still have a team, right?
Yeah, they still have a team. They're actually pretty good. Not championship good, but you know they're pretty good. They're a solid little team. You know, they'll be like a fourth, fifth seed or something like that. Hmm. But they got the win over Milwaukee with who has Giannis and Dame. So they beat them. Milwaukee, I'm not sure what they're going to be. You know, I'm not quite a believer in them. If anything, early, you know, and this is where you first start watching basketball, NBA, right? Because it's Christmas now. So you got no excuse now, Bill. You got to start watching. Sorry.
Well, no, I'm kind of like Dusty Baker. Dusty Baker said after the World Series, he starts watching Super Bowl. I mean, he starts watching football. And my thing is after the Super Bowl, I'll start watching basketball.
All right.
Which is February. Then we come up to the All-Star break.
That's true. There's still plenty of time. You're right about that.
This is like December.
It's like 2 months before the playoffs.
Yeah, because we're going to be watching this nonsense until June.
Right now, Boston, best team in the East. You got Missoula. They signed Kristaps Porzingis. He's the new – and Drew Holiday. Yeah. So they have to go along with, you know, Jaylen Brown and Tatum. So they have like a formidable squad, not much of a bench. That's their problem.
Yeah.
And then in the West is stacked. Oh, John Morant came back.
Yeah, he was the player of the week.
Yeah, and he came back. I think they were like second to last in the West when he came back. A terrible record. And since he's been back, they haven't lost. Three games or something like that. But, you know, I watched the first game he came back. He hit a buzzer beater. His first game had 30 points. I mean, it's like he never left. Mm. And it reminded me how good he was because I had forgotten,
right?
Like how good this kid really is, like how freakish of an athlete he is, and skilled.
Yeah,
you know. So we'll see if he's able to you know get them into some kind of playoff contention because you know they started the season off so terribly, and then you got the Lakers with LeBron and AD, and they won your favorite in-season tournament.
Yeah. Yeah. Hooray. People have already forgotten about it.
Right. They have because ever since then they haven't been good at all. And they've dropped to like close to 500 records.
It just seems like the flaw of that tournament, at least, well, who knows? But you spend all that if you buy into it, then you get this emotional high of winning. And then you got the rest of the season, you know.
Right.
And now you got like four more months. And you're like, oh,
but at least you get that emotional high. That emotional high and, you know, probably lasts you a week and you struggle. And then you still got like 3 months of the regular season to go. So, you know, whatever that high is, they'll get over that. To me, LeBron is great for a 39-year-old. There's no question about that. He's by far the best 39-year-old we've ever seen. And you can go by numbers. I mean, the guy's still scoring 35, 40 points. But it seems to me now – they're more just numbers than they ever were in the past.
Yeah.
Right? Like, he's so smart, and he's still strong, and, you know, he's still obviously ridiculously skilled. He still can put up numbers, but he no longer, and of course not, he no longer dominates physically.
Right.
Right? He's no longer the best athlete on the court.
Right.
Right? So that's a difference. So when you have him and AD, I don't think that's enough, you know, down, you know, in the long run.
In the long run, yeah. Yeah, so, you know, I'm not sure what he's after. I guess he's waiting for his son, right?
Well, and his son debuted. His son is playing for USC, played a couple games already.
Mm-hmm.
So and he's coming off the bench. He, you know, his son is not really like a, you know, didn't come in as like a superstar. He came in, people expecting him to be a solid contributor as a freshman, and he'll probably do that. So that'll be fascinating to see how that plays out, and whether he comes out, you know, the draft this year, or because of the heart issue, maybe he stays another season. You know, who knows?
Yeah, who knows? They know. Maybe he and Shadur can like do a commercial together or something.
I'm sure they will. Yeah. I'm sure they will.
All right. Well, listen, man, this has been great. I'm good to hear that you and the family had a great Christmas. The kids were deluged with toys. I enjoyed family on Christmas Eve and Christmas Day, and looking forward to the new year, you know, 2024, an election
year. When's Raisa due?
Mid-January. So we're.
Wow. We know whether it's a boy or a girl?
He's a boy. So, you know, we're praying and pulling for everything to be, you know, healthy and happy, and you know, give me a new appreciation. I've always had an appreciation for women and what they do, but this is, you know, like a whole nother.
Yeah, yeah.
Like, yeah. You know, man.
It's
tough.
Got to appreciate that. Yeah, no question.
Absolutely. All right, my brother. Listen, man, you enjoy. You know, everybody, you know, pray for peace. Continue to pray for peace. This is what we do is a distraction. You know, I mean, sports is important, but it's a hell of a distraction, you know. And there's a lot to be distracted from, no question. But don't keep your eye on the ball. Don't get too distracted.
Right, right. Don't be afraid to speak on whatever issues that are important to you.
No matter who your friends are.
It's not, you know, you can't let people, you know, not know what's going on, you know.
Yeah, stay woke. I know there's a bad Keep your eye. Why don't we ever do? Keep your eye on the ball.
Yeah. Yeah.
Keep your eye on the ball.
On and off the court.
On and off the court. That's right. All right, brother. I will see you next week, people. You know, enjoy the holiday season and stay healthy and keep praying. God bless.
Thank you for listening to Believe. You can show support to your host by subscribing to the show and giving us a 5-star rating on your preferred platform. Check us out at Believe.com and search for BLEAV on YouTube.